Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother,
what's up? This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
Brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Hey, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer. For only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket line and picket sign. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Talk show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And what a show that we have for you today, like we do every Monday. We have a wonderful show. We're going to talk about some very important topics and some very important subject matter. And these topics are going to have something to do with your civil rights, your constitutional rights, and your human rights. And it is, can you believe this? June the 20th already. We're almost at the 4th of July, and we're in 2022. We're just moving right along, and boy, it's been a lot of stuff going on in the news. These guns are still out of control. People are still misusing guns, and guns should not be misused. They should be used for professional reasons, really. Some countries don't even have guns. Like Singapore, they don't allow guns. The police officers don't even carry guns unless they get into a real serious situation. They have guns, but they don't carry guns, which is really important because, man, this is out of control here in the United States of America with gun control. And even though they passed a few laws like you got to be 21 years old, that's not enough. I think the government should go around and confiscate anybody, you know, do everybody's background check. If they show that they have some sort of mental incapable reason for not being able to keep a weapon, hey, what's up? What's up, Elaine? How are you? Then they should confiscate their weapons. That's what they should do. Go door to door. Take the computers with them. Check everybody out. If they are not mentally stable to have a weapon, confiscate the weapon. That's my opinion. That's just my opinion. Now, it's a beautiful Monday, and it's Juneteenth Monday. Yes, it is. Juneteenth Monday. Yes. What does that mean? We're going to talk about it on the show today. One of our topics is about Juneteenth, and one of our topics is about the Emancipation Proclamation of slavery. So we're going to talk deep on that today. That is going to be one of our very, very important subject matters and topics for today. We're going to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, and we're going to talk about Juneteenth and what does Juneteenth mean to you. Is it just about having some barbecue and potato salad and baked beans? What does Juneteenth mean to you? So as you think about that and let it sink into the resonance of your heart and mind, and also to our first topic is, hold on, let me make sure I get it here. There we go. Yeah, our first topic is the Emancipation Proclamation, which happened in 1862 or 3. Slaves were set free, but were they really free? Were they really free? So that's what we're going to talk about today. The Emancipation Proclamation, which happened in the 1800s, somewhere between 1862 and 1863. But were they really free? Even though they said, okay, you guys can leave, all you slaves can go, were they really free? We're going to talk about that because that was their civil right, their human right, and their constitutional right, which was still, you know, in the makings. Because they honestly, Caucasian people, white people didn't know what to do when the Emancipation Proclamation took place, because they were like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose all of our people to do the fields and the tobacco and whatever else, the cotton. Nobody was going to be out in the fields because they were free. They could leave. But were they really free? Well, without further ado, we want to make sure that we, you know, I'm so glad to see my daughter here, and I'm so glad to see the co-producers are in the studio waiting on the sideline. But before we go into what we're going to talk about, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I want to say happy Father's Day to all the mothers who were single, who played the role of the mother and the father. Happy Father's Day to you, too. It doesn't matter if you're a female or a male. If you were taking care of all the kids by yourself, happy Father's Day to you. Now, listen to this. All you fathers out there, whether you're behind the walls in jail, whether you're homeless, whether you're in the hospital, or no matter what your situation is, it's never too late to keep your relationship going with your children. I don't care if your kids are older now. It's always good to have that good, open communication with your kids. It's always good to make sure that you have a good relationship. Do what you can as a father. Good morning, Adrian. How are you, Adrian Walls? Praise the Lord. God bless you and the kids. And it is so important. It's so important to, hey, Elaine, how are you? God bless you. Good morning, Elaine. How are you out there on Facebook Live? Oh, by the way, if you want to get me on Facebook Live, just go to Eddie Justice Jones Jr. Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook and join me on the live and then share it with 10 people. Share it with 10 people. Adrian, share it with 10 people. Elaine, share it with 10 people. And all you guys. Hey, Sister Rosemary, all the way from Africa. God bless you this morning. God bless all my sisters and brothers in Africa. And to all the fathers in Africa, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day all the way to Nigeria, Zimbabwe, and all over Africa right now. Praise God. Praise God. Good to see you, Sister Minister Rosemary, all the way from Africa. Yes, my gosh, my gosh. And happy Father's Day to you guys. Now, listen. Keep the relationship. I'm going to do that right now. Keep your relationship going with your kids. even if it's just, hey, how are you doing? Give them a hug. You don't even need to have a reason why you want to hug them. I had a wonderful day, but yesterday, we're going to talk about Father's Day just a little bit more, but thank you for the hearts. I love the hearts. Thank you so much. You can send 100 million more of those hearts. They are so appreciative. Without further ado, let's get our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen, in the studio. Good morning, Clarence M. Allen. How are you this morning on this wonderful Monday, Juneteenth?
Mother, mother, there's far too many of you crying. And brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? I tell you what's going on, Pastor Eddie, co-producers, co-hosts, especially to all our wonderful listeners. Once again, you have tuned into the world's greatest Monday morning radio show, the Eddie Justice Jones radio show, where we bring in the hot topics. We're talking about Father's Day. We're talking about the Emancipation Proclamation. We're talking about Juneteenth. Man, Pastor Eddie, you just mentioned it with all the escalations of the shootings, Pastor Eddie, man. I appreciate you having me once again. God bless everyone on this show. Tell your friends to call in because it's going on.
Yes, it is going on, Brother Clarence. I'm so honored. Thank you so much. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. It's just to be here, to be alive. You know, God has something in store for us. Oh, my gosh, does he ever have something so in store for us? If we just listen to God, he'll tell us how to get to the next Father's Day and the next Father's Day. You know, we just have to stay focused on God. Even in our trials and tribulations and our storms in our life right now, God will help us weather the storm. God will help us weather the storm, no matter how small or big. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Without further ado, let's get our co-producer, Professor Reams, in the studio. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, the regulator. And good morning to all the listeners around the world. Take care. I hope you're wishing all of the fathers and the mothers who are fathers, as you start, Pastor Jones, a happy Father's Day, and that understand that the little things and a lot of big things you do are all appreciative, especially in the light of the Lord and what he's asked us as the ultimate father to us all. So we can only represent him in the way that we handle our kids and our loved ones and our families and our friends in the same manner. And so buckle up. We've already heard what the topics are. Sit back, relax, then also have a time of reflection because this is a wonderful celebration. And then we will do the real deal Holy Field, which only the Eddie Justice Jones Blog Talk Radio program can provide. And with that, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Everybody say good morning to Professor Reams. And without further ado, let's get our other co-producer, my daughter, Talana Z. Zion Jones, in the studio with us. Good morning, Talana Zion. How are you this morning? Good morning, good morning.
Well, this is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hey,
this is the day
that the
Lord has made.
Hallelujah. Praise God for this country, Carolina.
Wonderful introductory.
Right. Wow,
hey.
Fantastic introduction.
Excellent, excellent.
Man, hallelujah. I felt the Holy Ghost on that one. I had to sing a bar myself. Oh, my gosh. Without further ado, thank you, Talana. Now, we're going to talk about what happened on my Father's Day, and we're going to hear from the fathers, what do they do for Father's Day, in just a moment. And then we're going to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation, and then we're going to talk about what does Juneteenth mean to you. What does Juneteenth mean to you? Is it about barbecue ribs and potato salad and baked beans, or is it deeper than that? We're going to get there. Without further ado, let's get my sister, Vera Jones, with Health and Wellness in the studio. Good morning, Vera. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Eddie, co-hosts and listeners. I am wonderful. And thank you, Talana, for that song. And it's a big celebration because today is my son and my daughter's birthday. And they're twins, of course, because we have a lot of twins in the family. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brandon and Gabby.
Happy birthday, Brandon and Gabrielle from Uncle Eddie.
Happy birthday. Thank you, guys.
Real quick. Okay. I don't know if you're listening or not, but happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Amen.
All right. Yes. I'll tell you what. Happy birthday to my twin niece and nephew and to all the June people. To all the June people, happy birthday to you.
Okay?
That's right, Vera, your birthday just passed, June the 2nd. And wow.
Yes, and wow. Professor Reem, yes.
Woo-hoo,
and our
brother
cousin.
Professor
Reem,
happy birthday.
Yes.
Hey, happy birthday, Professor Reem.
A lot of Gemini floating.
I want to send a shout out to Gloria Majors on Facebook Live, Cassandra Romero on Facebook Live, Wanda on Facebook Live, and all the people on Facebook Live. Thank Rosemary, Minister Rosemary on Facebook Live. Thank you guys. Adrian Walls on Facebook Live. Thank you all for coming in the studio. If you want to listen to, on the phone, dial 646-787, Clarence M. Allen on live, 646-787-8064, 646-787-8064, and press 1. It'll put you in a queue, and we will recognize you. You can ask a question or make a statement because we have some very interesting topics today. Now, I want you to just, when I think about our ancestors, I don't want you to think about them being hung and castrated and all that. We're not there today. Today, we're at their freedom. The freedom. Can you imagine being in slavery in a cotton field or a tobacco field or a carrot field or an orange field or apple field, and your only job is to do that, and all of a sudden, you're completely free. You don't have to pick an apple, a tobacco leaf, a cotton, or nothing. You can walk away. You are free. The question is, are you really free? Emancipation Proclamation, and we're going to start off with Professor Reems, who is a real professor. We want to define Emancipation and Proclamation. We also want to say the date. The date. We're not sure. I know it's in the 1860s. It's either 1862 or 1863. But even after that, some slaves could not read. They did not know they were free. Let me say that again. If you were caught reading, you were punished. A lot of slaves, except for a few, like Frederick Douglass, he could read. But some slaves were not allowed to read because they knew that if they read, they would get intelligent, they would get wisdom, they would get knowledge, and that will create power. Wisdom, knowledge, intelligence creates power to the 10th power. And so they didn't want those sisters and brothers at that time to have that kind of power. Because when you come into your own, that's God's purpose in your life. When you come into your own and you get the power from God to move on to the next level. I hope you're feeling me right now. I know you're hearing me right now, but I hope you're feeling me right now on this Emancipation Proclamation holiday for Juneteenth. And without further ado, we're going to start on our first topic, the Emancipation Proclamation between the years of 1862 and 1863. We're going to define Emancipation Proclamation, what it means, and then we're going to ask the question to the audience, were we really free? Were we really free? Okay, without further ado, Professor Reems, please take the floor.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. Now, one thing that we have to remember about the Emancipation Proclamation is that it was an official way that Abraham Lincoln could literally fire the slave and say that you were no longer to be part of slavery at all. And so the Emancipation Proclamation was issued on January 1st, 1863. And the proclamation changed the legal status of more than 3.5 million enslaved American African Americans in the secessionist Confederate states from enslaved to being free. So initially, the slaves were now free, fired from having to do the work. Now, just to give you an idea how this relates to the Juneteenth celebration, the problem is that communication was very slow, and it also was connected to the advancement of Union troops. So if the Union troops weren't there, the slaves and the proclamation could not be presented in the particular state, which would cause a delay on when that freedom would occur. So when this occurred, the enforcement of the proclamation had to be slowly administered as the troops built up. And in Texas at that time, Texas was considered the farthest region. And so they didn't have a lot of Union troop advancement during that time until General George Granger came to the state. And it was on June 19, 1865, when he gave the announcement of the General Order Number 3, proclaiming freedom for enslaved people in Texas. Okay, so that's a 2 years difference, and if you want to put some time into that, we're celebrating Juneteenth now, but it took 157 years to get here. The actual movement didn't start till 1996, even though there was interest in the 80s to get it going, and that's 26 years. So this has been long in coming for it to become a federal holiday in June of 2021. Now, let's add in what this did. Okay, so on that date, yes, everyone had been free. But as you've mentioned, Pastor Jones, there wasn't a process of integrating or moving the freed peoples into jobs, into areas. Plus, as you've mentioned, they didn't have the opportunity to learn how to read or write. They don't know business. This was the process that had to go through with Reconstruction, because first you had to get the people educated, and sometimes you had a lot of resistance from the states, of which during this period the federal government would add its 2 cents. The states would have to comply, and then you'd have to build up either through churches, educating, teaching people how to read, and then making it available for them to eventually either get an education, get a job, or go to college and get a job. Well, all these things weren't there because the war had just ended, and it was like a disaster zone where there was nothing there, and that's why there was a lot of confusion during that time. You've been in the middle of war, so let's give you a visual. You've been in the middle of war. There are no buildings. Everything is smashed all over the place. Water is available, basically. There's basic food. But then all the industry is very limited because of the war effort. So it meant that once freed, literally it's the true meaning of freedom, where they're just said, okay, you're free, now scatter, go somewhere. But there's nowhere to go except for what they knew. So the next stage was, okay, if you have to work in this country, what are you going to do? And this is where sharecropping developed overall, because if they're on or in the field, then they could still make a living sharecropping, but this time instead of being a slave and not getting paid, they had to earn a salary they could pay through selling, you know, livestock, through vegetation, whatever needed to be done to get going. And then during Reconstruction, you saw that more blacks were able to get into college or get into fields that were otherwise held by whites. As I mentioned, the idea of the Lone Ranger and the person that they based it on was because the Union, because they were occupying the space, had to find jobs for folks who wanted to work, and so it meant that they were hiring at that time the former slaves, you know, but they had to learn how to read, they had to learn to write, they had to do, you know, training, whatever they can do. You also had clergy work that could be done, housework that could be done, whatever needs to be done. But there wasn't a social safety net during that time to where if you couldn't work, then the government was going to provide you support until you could find a job. That all this stuff didn't work, was not even in existence at that time. So it was, lack of a better term, a mess. So when you ask the question of were you really, really free, physically you weren't bound, you didn't have shackles on your feet, but structurally, mentally, you're speaking with folks who are suffering from heavy PTSD from being slaves. You're then asking them to start to integrate into society when the other part of society has skill sets. I mean, and even though those slaves who had skill sets like carpentry and or working with horses and all these other things in general, the question is, were the banks going to give them money? Were they going to get hired? What was going to be the means? Do they get Social Security? None of that stuff was there. So it was everyone starting all over again to figure out what was going on. But as you can see, the moment that Juneteenth occurred, the legislation for Texas did everything it could to disenfranchise the vote of the slaves or so, the former slaves, already, and that they couldn't enter into politics. And so the states, if the states were already forward-thinking, then the means to become self-sufficient was already there. So that's why during the time of Reconstruction, you had the Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the other eight locations would slowly develop and build. But that would take decades, years from 1865 all the way to 1923 for that to happen. So it meant that financially, African Americans, regardless of how they tried, were going to still be behind when the other families who had been able to invest around the world and all these other things still had access to banks, had invested, had property and owned property that they could recover, rebuild, and move forward. Whereas African Americans still, at that point, it was up to the state whether they were allowed to own property or not. And that's what why if you saw the aggressions are going on in the southern states, that's what occurred. And in the northern states, well, it was a little better. You know, still racism there, but at least when Canada and northern states, and we talked about reparations, it did happen at least in the states next to D.C. where they got their 40 acres and a mule. It's just that it didn't integrate across to the rest of the United States because during that time, everything was still being figured out in wilderness and all these other things in general. So this is where we are. Now, here's a little bit of a trivia. When the holiday was announced, there was a lot of celebration, but also legislation was passed as enfranchised. During Jim Crow, it declined and then was a little sedentary. Now, by this time, many of the African Americans who had received the freedoms started disassociating themselves from slavery, trying to assimilate into the system, got education, did all the necessary things to move forward. But unfortunately, there are still barriers to this day that have been keeping from moving forward. And, that's part of the civil rights movement. From the 1960s and 1980s, it started to build up again because there's a revival of black people that wanted to try to link the struggles of slavery back to the institutional racism that was going on. Then in the 2000s and 2010s, that's when there was a push. Actually, going back 1996, that's when the Juneteenth Independence Day was introduced by U.S. Congressperson Barbara Rose Collins. So that's the first time it was put. It was H.J. Resolution 195. As we move to the 2000s, this movement picked up to the point where we get to the grandmother of Juneteenth, Opal Lee, who, as it is mentioned, walked from Fort Worth, Texas to Washington, D.C. for the federal holiday. And then finally, we had President Joe Biden to sign it in on June 17, 2021, making it an official holiday. And it becomes one of five specific date-specific federal holidays, which it shares its ranks with New Year's Day on January 1st, Independence Day on July 4th, Veterans Day on November 11th, and Christmas Day on December 25th. And while we're experiencing Juneteenth coinciding with Father's Day, we're in a rare occasion that this will not occur again for almost another 10 to 20 or even 30 years. So the dates are we had it in 2022. The next time this will happen is 2033. It'll again in 2039, 2044, and then 2050. And it also declared as one of the first new federal holidays was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's now the second. And then Juneteenth also falls within the statutory honors American Day period, which is the last 21 days, and then Flag Day, which is June 14th, and Independence Day, of course, June 4th. So with the question on were they really free, it comes back to the definition of what we mean by freedom, which is the freedom to run forth and do as the majority is able to do, what whites are able to do. No. Not at all, because, again, you had the institutions that were still unfavorable towards, due to racism, trying to block the freedom of the slaves. Did it stop them from creating their own Tulsa, Oklahomas, and starting farms and doing all these other things in general? No, because they still progressed, because Juneteenth is a testimony of perseverance. Folks did not give up. They acted up and did, you know, the wonderful good noise, you know, and good activism that occurred. But the moment that this happened, you can't expect a whole group to now just integrate into it, because, again, you have to provide training, as you know. You have to provide opportunities and means, you know, such as access to the public areas. And you're almost re-educating a whole group of citizens on how to be citizens. So it's a yes and no question, and it also shows the journey that African Americans have had in this country from slavery to no slavery to Jim Crow to civil rights to the present. And with that, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Let's give a big hand for Professor Reams breaking it down to the teeth. Professor Reams broke it all the way down. Hey, that was broke down to you in layman terms. If you didn't understand that, oh, my gosh, that was on point. It was educational. It was knowledge. And I told you, when the slaves were freed, the reason why they didn't want them to read is because they would build knowledge, wisdom, intelligence. And all of that adds up to power. And when you get power, you can go to the next level, because you have the wisdom, the knowledge, the intelligence, the know-how to do the part called power. Power gives you the energy to get that situation done. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point of what's going on in the game, we need to be paying very much attention to what the government is doing right now. As we can see with our own eyes, are we really free? What's up, Maurice Ballantyne? What's up, Harold Clayton? What's up, Harold Clayton? What's going on, man?
Pastor Jones, may I add one last thing, if I may? Yes. Actual announcement, when General George Granger provided the announcement, of course, happened on June 19th, 1865, in Galveston, Texas. So Juneteenth originated the moment it was issued from Galveston, Texas, and then spread it from there. So thank you. I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen, amen. Now, let me tell you, we're talking about our first topic, and our first topic is the Emancipation Proclamation. On January 1st, 1863, slaves were set free. But the question is, were they really free? And as you heard from Professor Reams, some of them were free, but some didn't know where to go. They all they knew was working on the plantation. They got their meals from the plantation. Even though they threw them hog moths and chitlins, they made some hog moths and chitlins and picked some of them collard greens out of there and made some hot water cornbread and was still living good and still feeling good and still staying healthy. Because we are survivors. We are survivors. Survivors of the fittest. We know how to adapt. And I hate to say this, I don't know how many times we have had to adjust our lives to adapt to what's going on in the society that we live in. And we should not have to do that. You know, we are so ready for reparations right now. And I'm not just talking about the money from reparations. I'm talking about just reparations, period. We're long overdue for something that we should have had a long time ago. The Jews received it. The Koreans received it. We should receive it too. The Emancipation Proclamation, which represented the freedom of slavery, did not mean that those slaves were really, truly free. And even to this day in 2022, when I see certain situations take place on the news, I say to myself, are we really free? Oh, yeah, you can go get in your car, you can go to your apartment and all that, but let something happen and see what the police do to them. I cannot count on my hand and all the limbs of my body how many people have died from racism. It's like grains of sand at a beach. It's just too many. But we're still developing and restoring and revitalizing, rehabilitating, rejuvenating as a people. It is a WIP, work in progress, WIP. Write that down, because that's what we are. We're work in progress. And without further ado, I'm going to go to our dear brother, Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer from Regulate the Manual. Take the floor. What does the Emancipation Proclamation mean to you? And are we really free? Are we really, truly free? Go ahead, Clarence M. Allen. Take the floor.
Yeah, Pastor Eddie, I'm down in the back of my closet right now. I cannot find a shoe large enough to follow Professor Reams. Professor Reams.
I like that. Like that. Like that, man. Like that.
You can...
Okay.
I don't have the biggest...
Come on, man. Come on.
Come on. I don't have the biggest shoes to follow you, Regulator. I'm just a warm-up.
Love it, man. Love it.
You make it the most difficult challenge to come behind Professor Reams, but this is what I'm created for, because I do have a small bit of change to add to this dollar. Now, the Emancipation Proclamation, I think the way we've been taught about it, we kind of been misled and we've been hidden on it, because it doesn't exactly mean to set free. It actually means you have been purchased from one entity, and now you're owned by another. And we will get to
come
that
on now, come
when
on.
We get
talk
to
about
the 13th Amendment. So what happened, the federal government paid those slave owners for their slaves to
right.
release them. And when we look at the 13th Amendment being purchased by the government, if you get caught of a crime, you go back into slavery, into these prison camps. They had a lot of shit
on,
going
on
back then, and even until today, where you will go back to the plantation and work for them. They made deals. Now, when we look at the freedom of the emancipation in January 1st, 1863, physically, it goes back to what you said, Pastor Eddie. It goes back to what Professor Reed, you were released from that plantation, but you had no skill except for the slave work that you done. The two most important things in the stories I read about slaves, the two most important things they wanted, one was freedom, and two was the education, because they had that will to go and learn. They wanted a book to read. They wanted to learn the English language. They wanted to get a skill or a trade and work for themselves. You know, in emancipation, the federal government promised a lot of slaves land, but the land ended up being given back to the slave owners. You know, General Sherman, he talked about all those mules after the Civil War, giving them to the slaves
right.
with property, with the 40 acres. So were we really free when they developed black codes? They developed certain laws after the emancipation. So if you were just standing out, you could be arrested for a vagrancy or lottery, and you go back to that plantation and work basically just for a meal and to live.
Right.
So were we really free? The 54th Regiment of the Union Army was a color unit led by General Gordon Granger. And when they went down into Galveston on June 19, 1865, and he read Article 3, which told them, you're all free. You're free to go. You don't work for them for free anymore. A lot of slaves did not believe it until those colored soldiers bear witness to what their mission was and what they were doing to set them free. You know, I read an article, and I can't recall it exactly, but there were four Mexican brothers in Texas. They were Confederate mm-hmm. soldiers. They had their own Confederate infantry. Man, this is a deep pocket of information that you have pulled out for this morning. It's perfect for this holiday. It's perfect for Father's Day. Man, we have a lot of the nature in the history of not just this nation, but the nature and the history of our own ancestry, Pastor Eddie. So when we look at this question, were they really free? Some were, and some psychologically, mentally, and even physically weren't, because they didn't know what to do. What do you do
right.
after all these years? Excuse me, you working under a whip. You worked in chattel slavery. That means in chains for some of them.
Mm.
If you don't obey the rules, you get slaved. You'll be beaten. But when President Abraham Lincoln signed that emancipation and set slaves free, a lot of slaves didn't know what to do. A lot of them went right back to the plantation. Where do I go?
Right. Yeah.
Martin Luther King, the great late Dr. Martin Luther King said, how do we supposed to strap up our boots when we don't have a boot, neither shoestrings to strap up?
Come on now.
You know.
Talk
this,
about it.
This topic here, Pastor Eddie, with this Emancipation Proclamation, and you know, let me read this to you. A gravestone engraved with the names James Thompson, Charles Thompson, Christopher Thompson, Henry Thompson, and John Thompson, who served in the 54th Regiment, were sent to Galveston on June 19, 1865, made for a remarkable place to kick off the Amherst celebration for the first official Juneteenth. And, you know, with us celebrations for many of these holidays have to be different, because if we study the nature and the history of these holidays, the majority of them was created out of death, out of evil act. And most of them,
man,
we as African descent, victims of many of these holidays. So we need to honor our ancestors. We need to honor those who were set free, those who didn't make it to freedom. And we need to remember those acts and those atrocities that occurred to us. So I want to thank you, Pastor Eddie. I want to thank all of our listeners. Thank you for being devoted listeners. Those who are just coming on, be sure to tune in next Monday, because, you know, I don't know how God does it. You know, we say he works in mysterious ways, but he is moving this man to lead us into the hot-button topic that is not just happening in my house, your house, our community, but nationwide and even worldwide. So thank you, Pastor Eddie, all of my panelists. All the listeners, God bless you. Continue to listen. Hit those loves on live social media. You can also call in at 646-787-8064 if you have a live question you want to put on air or comment. Pastor Eddie be welcome to provide. So thank you once again.
Let's give Clarence and Allen a big hand. Come on, you guys. Clap it up for Clarence.
Excellent job.
On,
the
man.
Regular,
come on.
Like I said. I hope you open
the
end.
Wow. That was great. Well, we got to welcome our Poetry in Motion segment of the show is done by none other than Sister Linda Goldie. Good morning, Sister Linda Goldie. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Well, I'm a little depressed.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Everybody say, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day. Lovely day, lovely day,
lovely day.
Linda Goldie, lovely day.
Linda, I want my hug. Only you can provide me with that loving hug.
That's right. So Linda Goldie, we just gave you a spiritual loving hug, okay?
Thank you. I needed that.
And whatever it is, no matter how big or small, our God said he will fight your battles. Amen? He will fight your battles. That's something to be excited about. I don't know about you, but when I think about the goodness and all he's done for me, when I think about the goodness and how he set me free, I want to dance, 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 dance all night. Hey, you know what I mean? It makes me want to dance. So when I think about his goodness and I think about his grace, and I think about his mercy, it just makes me want to dance, 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 okay? Because we have something to dance for. We're still here. The dead is sleeping in their grave. They cannot hear us. They cannot talk to us. But we are here alive and well. Somebody shout amen right now. Somebody say hallelujah right now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to shout Cousin V out. She said she's going to be in, calling in just a minute. And I want to shout out Felita Wilkes and her husband, Pastor Charles. I want to shout them out right now on Facebook Live. I want to shout out my homeboy from way back in the day, Glenn Yost. What's up, Glenn? God bless you and your family, man. And tell all the gardeners, all the gardenites, I said hello to all the gardenites. Hello, and God bless them. I want to send a shout out to Maurice Ballantyne. What's up, my brother? All right. And, to Harold Clayton, what's up, fam? How you doing, man? Stay up. Stay with us. And everybody on Facebook Live, please share this with 10 people right now. We're talking about a topic. What's up, Brother James Hudson? All right. All right. We'll see if we can get Brother James Hudson. James, call into the show, man. I want to talk to you because you're from Texas, and that's where my family's from Texas, too. And a lot of people on the show have family from Texas and have been to Texas, too. So you know,
yep.
This all started in Texas. Let me tell you something. You know why they killed President Lincoln, don't you? Because when he signed the Emancipation Proclamation of slaves to free slaves, a lot of people did not like that, and they weren't people of color. So you can just, you know, what's up, Pastor Newell? God bless you, Pastor Newell. God bless everybody on Facebook Live. You want to join us on Facebook Live? Hey, wait a minute. There's Alvita. What's up, Alvita? How are you? God bless you. Hey, man, praise the Lord. Brother James, God bless you, man. Now, Brother James is fighting for rights right there in Texas, a young man that was killed by the police that should not have been killed. And this is still part of Juneteenth and the Emancipation Proclamation. All these shootings of black people by police and rogue people in places where, like, the young lady went in the apartment and said she thought she was going into her place, and she shot the African-American male that was sitting on the couch eating ice cream. Huh? He was sitting on the couch eating ice cream. Don't forget about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, y'all. It was only yesterday when black people had their own banks, their own cleaners, their own cookie store, their own everything, shoe leather fixing businesses, horseshoe, putting shoes on the horses. It was a town full of black people that owned homes, cars, and property. Unfortunately, yeah. The white people, one white person, beg your pardon, who was that?
It's Clarence. Hey,
yes, sir.
Yes. Imagine this. You have 100 acres of property of cotton.
Come on now.
You have 100 people. You do not have to pay a dime to go out there and pick that cotton for you to take to sell. And then a law come out where you cannot have them working for you free anymore. That would upset somebody.
Somebody's upset.
Somebody would be upset.
Man, you know that.
Come on, Pat.
And you know,
you own it.
Brother James Hudson, if you could hear me, I know you're on live, but call into the show because I want to talk to you. I want to get you on real quick just so you can shout out how things are going with your work, your civil rights work there in Texas for that young man. As you know, the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association, we go all over the United States, and I'm so proud to say this, especially for Juneteenth and the Emancipation Proclamation. I was invited to be the Grand Marshal of two Juneteenth parades in one day. One was in Mississippi, and the other one was in Louisiana. And I was the Grand Marshal along with Mrs. United States and Mrs. World. Oh my gosh, man! Oh, Brother James, man! Shout out, Brother James Hudson. We all know James Hudson who's fighting. Let's give him a big hand for what he's doing down there in Texas. He just hit me on Facebook Live and said they're trying to stop him from being able to call into the show. And some people tell me they try to call in sometimes and they can't get through. And I don't know why. You should be able to get through. And, hold on here. Let's see. Okay. No, that's not him yet. But sometimes people, you know, being that this is a civil rights talk show, I want to let you know the FBI, the DEA, the CIA, and every other entity of government is listening to this show too. The Washington, D.C., I'm sure they listen to my show, and I've been to the government lots of times. I've been into the highest part of the government. I've been on the Congress floor. I've been on the House floor. I've been in the chambers. I've been in the highest courtroom in the United States of America, okay? And they know who I am, and they know who we are, and they know what we're talking about right now. And they know what we're talking about is important, and in Spanish, that's importante. Because it's information, and it gives us knowledge, it gives us wisdom, it gives us intelligence, and that turns into power. And when you have power, you don't have to bow down to nobody but God. Hallelujah. You don't have to bow down to them. You don't have to go to the cotton field. There's so many people that have fought for us to have the right. Evangelist Virginia, thank you for coming on Facebook Live. You don't know how many sisters and brothers ran from dogs and horses and shotguns to get to power. Oh, you don't hear me right now. Somebody ain't listening to me. I'm going to say this one more time. You don't know how many people ran from dogs, shotguns, and horses for power. The number to the show is 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Somebody that's on Facebook Live, could you type the number into the show? If you're on Facebook Live, please type in 646-787-8064. Now we're going to go to Vera Jones. Vera Jones, take the floor. Tell us what you feel about the Emancipation Proclamation and what Juneteenth means to you, and are we really free? Go ahead, Vera. Take the floor.
Well, Eddie, just pinging back on Professor Raines and Clarence, there is part of a yes and the other part is no. But what I must say is that I am honored to be able to celebrate this particular holiday because our ancestors went through a whole lot that many of us, perhaps living at this time, it would be difficult to handle. And then our roots are in Texas from our parents and ancestors. So, yes, there is a big process of change. And sometimes when you're accustomed to doing the same thing every single day, it's like we have to venture out, like, you know, drive down a different freeway, a different road, just to do something different. So that's my thing, Eddie, and happy Juneteenth and happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers. Amen.
Amen, amen. The number to the show is Write This Down. Let's give a hand for Vera. Let's give a hand for Vera, what she said. Thank you so much, Vera. That's important. Give her a big hand.
Dr. Granny V has spoken. Well said.
Amen, amen. I want someone to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I want you to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. God did everything. God touched Abraham Lincoln. Huh? God touched Abraham Lincoln. He had an epiphany. God touched him, and the Holy Ghost touched him, and he signed into order the freedom of slavery. Philip Waterman, what's up, my brother? What's up, my brother? Philip Waterman, man, I send you blessings. I send you strength. I send you endurance from God Almighty through me to you, my brother. And God bless you and your wife. God bless Harold Clayton and his wife. God bless everybody, all the fathers. I'm sending you a blessing right now. Nobody knows what it takes to be a father. Sometimes we don't learn on the first child. We might not learn on the second child. But oh, by the third child, we need to be looking up to our real father and thank him for allowing us to be a father, because it takes two to make one. And those are our children that we have to nurture and nourish and give wisdom and knowledge and intelligence and guidance and protection and unconditional love and insight. And when you give, that's why so many young people are dying that don't know about the Emancipation Proclamation. They're dying because of a lack of knowledge. They're dying because of a lack of wisdom. They're dying because of a lack of love. You see, love heals. Love develops. Love restores. And when you have unconditional love for your loved ones, and then everybody receives a blessing from that love. But if you're hating on your brother, if you're hating on your sister, if you're hating on your cousin, if you're hating on your auntie, or you're hating on your uncle, or you're hating on your father, or you're hating on your mother, then you're going to have some discombobulation. Oh, you don't hear me right now. You're going to have some discombobulations. So you need to fix that. And it's never too late until you're dead. But as long as you're alive and you have the strength, the words, the wisdom, the patience, the understanding to rehabilitate and revitalize those relationships that make it so important for our children not to die at a young age. I don't know how many older people are living longer than their children right now, but a lot of older people are, because these young people are dying between the ages of 15 and 30 years old on an all-time high. They don't know about Emancipation Proclamation. They don't know about Juneteenth and what it means, because nobody took out the time to pull them up by the bootstraps and tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. If you're not a father, you could be a mentor. You could be a mentor. You could be a mentee. So that's why I shout out all the mothers that are single mothers raising 5 kids, 6 kids, 2 kids, 1 kid. Happy Father's Day to you too. To all the brothers behind the walls, Happy Father's Day to you. To all the brothers that are out there homeless, Happy Father's Day to you. To all the brothers who are looking for a job, you're still a father. You can't be judged on whether what you have or what you don't have. As long as you're making an effort to keep a good relationship with your kids or your child, you're doing your job as a father. People wonder, what do I need to do to be a father? Be present. Be ever present. Ask them how they're doing. And then listen with your eyes. Listen with your ears. Listen with your nose. And listen with your mouth. Your final words to them is, tell me about it and listen to your kids. And off of what they tell you, you'll be able to tell them about the Emancipation Proclamation and Juneteenth and what slavery really means and the reason why we shouldn't be killing each other, because somebody died for us to get to where we are, so we shouldn't be killing each other. We should all be working as a galvanized unit to get this reparations that's long truly overdue. If we focus on that, that'll take our minds away from the guns. If we focus on that, that'll take our minds away from the hate. If we focus on that, that will take our minds away from the animosity that we have been taught by the slave masters. Hate the one that's light-skinned. Hate the one that's dark-skinned. Hate the one with curly hair. Hate the one with straight hair. Hate the one with green eyes. Hate the one with blue eyes. We have been taught hate, and that is a seed that we need to get rid of. That is a bad seed, a bad cancer. It don't matter how light you are or how dark you are or what color your eyes are. It matters, are you focused on what God has in store for you to do? And if you're focused on what God's commandments are, you won't have time for the extracurricular activities, the negativities, the drama. Somebody don't hear me right now, but somebody is hearing me right now, and somebody's passing this message on. Let us think into the resonance of your heart and mind. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something, hallelujah, or we're going to fall for anything. And I want to thank God for his grace and his mercy. Your grace and mercy has saw me through. And with that being said, we're going to go to Linda Goldie, all the way from Montana. Am I right? Linda, you're in Montana, right?
No, I'm in Oregon.
Oregon. I want to see. Okay, Oregon. Okay, so thank you so much. Praise God. Okay, so Linda Goldie, what do you think about the Emancipation Proclamation and the freedom of slaves, and are we really free from slavery?
Well, part of the reason I'm depressed because I don't think much has changed. And, you know, it's sad. I mean, it's one thing to have a proclamation, but it's another thing to see actual change. And from what you're telling me, there hasn't been that much actual change. And the little that there has been problematic, like you said. Where do they go after they leave the plantation? You know, They said they were free, but then where did they go? What do they do, you know? So, anyway.
Amen. You're right, Linda, you're right. And we're going to do some poetry in just a minute. But before we do, we got a caller in the 832 area code. Caller in 832 area code, AA0. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed, my brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. James Hudson. Let's give James a big hand. Welcome to the show, Brother James. Welcome to the show. Let's give him a hand.
Ooh.
Brother James Hudson, right on.
Yeah, well, I finally made it in, man. Yeah.
Go ahead, James. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm glad I was finally able to get through, man. It is just truly amazing that these people that are monitoring all these phones and doing these things, they listen to you more than the people that should be listening. So just know that you always have an audience, that is for sure. And it's not the audience that you want, but it is definitely you will always have an audience because you hit the nail on the head. This is all about dividing and conquering. It's been about that ever since of slavery. And it's just a shame that a lot of our people, I don't know when we're going to wake up to what's really happening on behind closed doors and underground. These people are so serious. And I think we got a taste of that when we had Donald Trump elected as president with that Make America White Again slogan he had running around with. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They don't want to hear you talking about slavery and reparations and all that type of stuff. That takes them back and reminds them of a time of their ancestors, what they did. And if you hear them talking about taking these books out of school because they don't want these young white children understanding what actually happened during slavery, And not that we're blaming them, but their ancestors played a great part of and you know, so when they think that they're so much smarter than black kids and say, well, you know, you had a 400-year advantage over us, your people were able to go to school and educate their children and other things. We can do nothing but pick cotton out in fields. So you got a 400-year advantage when you start talking about how smart you guys are. Well, yeah, if we wasn't able to read, if my great-great-grandfather wasn't even able to read a book because your great-great-grandfather wouldn't allow him to do it, why he was educating you and your children and you know, and it goes back 400 years. That's just truly awesome, man. So, but I just want you to understand, man, that it was amazing how I was trying to get on through Facebook through the number that I normally call through there, and it wouldn't even allow me to get on, which tells me because you know I've been dealing with all this stuff here in Houston, and these folks are monitoring my phone. They're listening to you to me right now. They listen to every phone call that I make because it's all about divide and conquer. They don't want you to be able to get with these groups and things and organize to bring out all this injustice that is taking place all across America, not just what's happening with me here in Houston, but all across America. Is just a great injustice. And you think that these are the people that take an oath to protect and serve, and those are the ones that you have to fear the most. And that's the sad part about this.
Come on.
That they've got this thing locked down to where you know, you can't get any type of injustice. And we're all marching and kicking and screaming and hollering and still can't get any justice because they got this whole thing locked down. That's the, you know, we for the police when they're innocent. The law is for them when they are guilty. They for them when they're right, and it's for them when they're wrong. So they just got it locked down, and they know that, and they're going to try to keep it locked down. And that's what all this monitoring is about. If you listen to those people that are protesting out there with the George Floyd situation or any of these situations that have happened within these police shootings or whatever, you hear the protesters talking about the phones being monitored and all this kind of, this is for real. This is not no joke. And people need to wake up to this stuff. All this stuff, you start hearing all that tapping in your phone and your email and your Facebook page and thinking that somebody else is hacking into you. Those are the people that's supposed to be protecting you that's doing all that. And they just don't want this to get out. Yeah, but what's happening now is it's happening to so many people. Now everybody recognizes, oh, my God. And, you know, you mean they're actually tapping into our phones? And, yeah, they are. They're listening to this conversation right now. So don't fool yourself. Anytime you're trying to educate your own people, like you said, they want to be educated first. They want to see what are you trying to tell these people. And then they're going to try to find ways to stop you from doing that. So that's very serious. So I commend you for the work that you do, because this is not easy, and it's not easy knowing that folks are all into your personal stuff and everything. Y'all trying to do everything that they can to deter you, harass you, and everything else to get you to stop. That's what they do. But we have to understand that people have laid down their lives for freedom. And I know it looks like a lot of times that we have not come very far, but indeed we have. We have made some strides, and that's because there's been so many people on that battlefield that has refused to give up. So we don't want them to think, we haven't made any strides. We have made some strides. Yeah, we know we got a ways to go, but we have made some strides up off of our forefathers' back, and it's our job to continue to make those strides, no matter how much we get harassed, no matter how what happens. We saw the marches and our own people being bit on by dogs and spit on and watered down. They put their lives on the line to walk across those bridges and things like that. They did, and they didn't do it for us to say that we haven't made any strides. We've made some strides because of them, and we just got to take that torch and keep moving. That's just the bottom line. I know it's hard, but we've got to take it and keep moving. But we've got to organize, and we just can't organize when it's time to vote. We need to be organizing every single day. Because that's what they're doing. They are doing it all across this country. That's what they're doing. That's why you see these groups just popping up all everywhere. They are organizing, trying to keep you down, making we won't. They want America to be white. This is all about whiteness. That's what they're talking about, and they would do anything at any cost to make it that way. And if we don't stand up and rise up as a people to say we're just as much part of America as you are, because we have built America, so we got to fight back. That's just all there is to it. It's just fighting back. That's what it's all about. Some of us may have to lose our lives or whatever to make it, but we're going to fight back. I know I am, and I ain't making no reservations about it. I'm going to stand bold and proud. Now, you know, that's how come I put everything that happens to me on film, so that people would know if I die today, play them film so you can see what my thoughts are, who these people are that's doing all this stuff,
that's
because
right.
It is a shame.
Right.
It's just a total shame that this is the type of government that we live up under, but we got to continue to fight. So those are my comments, man. It was a great show, like always. Just keep doing what you're doing, my brother. We're fighting for you and with you, I mean, and we're praying for you. So just know that.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Let's give a big hand for James Heston. Wait, let's give a big hand. Come on, man. Come on. My brother.
Well done.
My brother.
Well done.
My brother. Hey, brother James, I don't want you to leave without telling us why you are fighting and who you're fighting for. Go right ahead.
Yes.
Please drop this information. But before you say that, I want y'all to know, I've been telling people this a long time. They're listening to this show right now because it's a civil rights talk show. The government is listening. I've talked about stuff, and then the next day I see it on another show. I'm not going to say their name. But they talk about the same thing I talk about on their show a day after I talked about it on my show. And it's a government show. So they listen to our show, and guess what? They've been stealing everything from us. They stole everything from us. They even stole singing from us, okay? They mimic our songs and make money off of our music. I'm not being racist. I'm just keeping it real. They wanted their faces like yours. They do their lips like ours. They get their gluteus maximus done like ours. They want to be us, but they can't stand us. And I'm not trying to be racist or biased or prejudiced. I'm just telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So I'm going to go back to Brother James Hudson so he can tell you who he's fighting for and why he's fighting for him. And Maurice Ballantyne, my brother, Maurice, Bully the Bull, call in. The number's on the page, 646-787-8064. Want to hear from you all the way out there in Tennessee, bro. Hit me up. Maurice Ballantyne. 646-787-8064. Call into the show right now. James Hudson, take the floor. Tell us who you're fighting for and why you're fighting for him. Go right ahead.
Yeah. So as I've been saying for the last 2 years, I'm actually fighting for a young man. His name is Joshua Johnson. If you guys look that up, and again, there's some things I can't even say about him because I did go before a grand jury to talk about I was actually subpoenaed to go before a grand jury, not necessarily because they know I know everything, but really to put a sock in my mouth. That's why they subpoenaed me, and that's another reason why they listen to everything that I say. But if you want to know what happened with Joshua Johnson, just go to – I wrote a two-hour production about Joshua Johnson. It's on YouTube. You can just pull it up. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. You can go to YouTube and pull up Chapel of Restoration, the cover-up. Chapel of Restoration, the cover-up on YouTube, and you will see – that whole production, a very professional production. I've been writing plays for over 30 years, and I put together a group of very fine actors that to act out what happened to Joshua Johnson. We are still fighting that fight to this day. As a matter of fact, this month, later this month, we're going to be going before we filed a civil lawsuit. In the federal courts, we filed a civil lawsuit, and that goes before a judge the end of this month. And I've been working with Congressman Al Green, who has just been totally inspirational. I've met with him over 20 times over the last year. And then I've met with Commissioner Rodney Ellis' office here lately. I've been meeting with them. So we've got some really good people here locally that's on board. I don't want to call the rest of the names out because, as I said, these people are listening. I could hear my phone just zipping just a second ago. So they're on listening to everything that we're saying here, which I don't really care about that, but because they know that I've been meeting with all these people. And so, like I said, it's just a shame that they say that, you know, that it's all about justice, but there is no justice. It's just them. That's just them. That's what justice is all about. It's not for us. It's for them. And that's the way that they want to keep it. They don't want it to be for us. But again, like I said, if you want to see what happened to Joshua Johnson, young man that was shot and killed, you can go to YouTube and pull up Chapel of Restoration, the cover-up, and you'll see that entire story. And that way I don't have to say anything about it. You can see it for yourself. And just know that we are continuing in the fight there. God has truly blessed us. And I'll ask you guys to pray for his mother and his father. Joshua was their only child. And I was just with them yesterday at a huge event that we put on with the Color of Change, which is the number one online petition for social justice, and I've met with our head of them several times already, so they are totally on board with Joshua John. They know his family. We were able to speak yesterday, so they know what's going on with that, and they are totally behind us. So we've got some good people that understand the story. As I said, I put everything on tape, and I give it to the people that need to have it, including the congressman and some other people here locally. So that if anything were to happen to me, people would know my thoughts and know exactly what's happening.
Now, Brother James,
you know,
Hey, Brother James, when the time is right, I want you to bring me on down there so I can speak to all the people. I'm ready. Amen?
Okay. Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, amen about it. Well, exactly right. Well, hopefully we're hoping that the time will be right, because when we like I said, we're working with Congressman Green on some other things that we're doing that I want to speak about. But we're not just sitting back just taking it at that. And, you know, we got another big case that just happened here in Houston. Jalen Green, I think it's Green that was shot and killed by a police officer here in Houston. So
yes,
that's a big thing that's happening here. So it's just crazy,
video.
Man. Yeah, exactly.
I saw that video,
yeah,
man.
Right. So it's just sad, you know, that we have to keep enduring all these things. It's just, I'm telling you, after a while, they're gonna mess around here and shoot and kill the wrong person. That's my big fear. This is a different generation of people. It's not your Martin Luther King Junior type of crowd here. These younger people are sitting on edge here, and now that they've allowed all these guns to get out here in the streets, I'm just really fearing that America, we're going to be our own worst enemy. It's not going to be Russia. It's not going to be Japan. It's not going to be North Korea, China. We are our own worst Americans against Americans.
Hey, Brother James,
because you've allowed.
Hey, Brother James. Now, you know, in the Bible, it says that man will self-destruct himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
Where we
and
are
that's
right
exactly
now.
And that's exactly where we are. We're the number one nation in the world, and the rest of the world is sitting back looking at us destroy ourselves. And you saw that in that insurrection. That insurrection is that failed. It failed the first time, but what's going to happen the next time around? See, now that all these black people have all these guns out here, all everywhere, what's going to happen here? Because that's what they're setting this thing up to do. And trust me, they're just hoping that they can control the army, and that's why they want that Republican in there, so that when it happens, he can put these black people in their place. That's what they're hoping for. And that's why you see all of these Proud Boys and all these other folks popping up all everywhere, getting their little armies of folks together. You saw that. So we had better wake our behinds up and pay attention to what's going on, because, again, it's all about coming together, not allowing them to separate you. You have to come together. So you guys are doing a great job over there doing your part, and we're going to continue to do our part here in Houston, man, and God bless us. And, you know, like I said, you can't go wrong doing what's right. And so that's what we're going to continue to do. And like I said, man, God bless you, Brother Eddie, for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Man, thank you so much, Brother Hudson. And I want to say this to everybody out there that's listening to the show. You know, they got the Proud Boys and the Skinheads and the whoever, the KKKs and whatever. But I want y'all to look up the Black Militia. Look up go to YouTube and look up the Black Militia. And then and when you put in the search, put the Not Freaking Around group. Black Militia, Not Freaking Around. And that's putting it lightly, okay, because we're on a show. Okay, you need to look them up, because if you want to galvanize with a troop that's ready to protect our people, then look up the Black Militia, Not Freaking Around group and read about them. And, the courts are all, the Supreme Court is always trying to go after groups. They're not going after the Proud Boys. They ain't going after the Ku Klux Klan, but they wanted to go after the Black Panther Party. Matter of fact,
right.
let me set the record straight on the Black Panther Party. Let me set the record straight for those who are uneducated and not knowledgeable of what the Black Panther Party was really all about. The government was infiltrated them and was listening to them with wires and paying off other African Americans to snitch on what they were doing, sending them inside to get their information and give it back to the FBI and the CIA. Okay, when they heard, and let me tell you something, every Black Panther was educated. They had doctorate degrees, bachelor degrees. They were educated. They were the first ones before the government to give out free breakfast and free lunch to kids who were going to school, because how can you take a test if you don't have no food in your stomach? You can't think. You can't figure it out when you're hungry. But the Black Panther Party made sure that the kids from the black community, how did the Black Panthers get started? A young girl was crossing the street and was ran over by a white person, and that's when they knew it was racist and biased, and the young men got together, Huey P. Newton and the rest of the organization got together and had a right to bear arms, and they protected their community. See, we don't do that anymore. We need to get back to protecting our community, protecting our children, protecting our women, and protecting our future. And we better wake up and spill the coffee, because there's a new cup being brewed every second. And I told you, when you get wisdom and knowledge and understanding, that creates power. And when you have power, you can go to the next level. And they don't want you to be a six-figure making money person. They don't want you to own your own entrepreneurial businesses. But look at America today. African Americans are billionaires and trillionaires and business owners and all kinds of stuff. So they couldn't stop what was going to happen inevitably anyway. But we as a people are WIP, work in progress. And we got to keep working. We got to keep striving. We got to keep going. As the song says, ain't no stopping us now. Okay? So we got to wake up and be ready. Brother Clarence wanted to share something with you, Brother Hudson. Brother Clarence, take the floor. Go ahead on and share with Brother Hudson.
Yes. Brother James Hudson, man, God bless you. God keep you. We appreciate all the knowledge and the information that you are sharing with us this morning. And we as a people, especially us as descendants of American slaves, the majority of us, the only education we got is from America. And so when we look around and we look at how we conduct ourselves and how we're acting out here, we got all this from America. We are the only race in America where our umbilical cord is not attached to our roots. The Europeans are attached to theirs. The Asians are attached to theirs. The Latino are attached to theirs. But us as African descendants, we are not attached to our roots. So we need to re-educate ourselves on who we are, where we come from, who are our ancestors, what's our history. Because everything that America knows, they got from Africa. All knowledge came out of Africa. The little bit that they were taught and the rest that they stole came from them. And so the African proverb goes like this, and I said it once before on this show. As long as the hunter tells his story, he's going to always be glorified. He's going to put that lion head on his wall. He's going to put that deer head on his wall and all those other animals, because this is what their nature naturally do. They steal, they pillage, they kill everything. Look at the world, the way it's slowly dying from all
that's
for evil. So
Brother Clarence.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brother Clarence, I didn't mean to interrupt you so abruptly, but Professor Reams wanted to ask a question to Brother James Hudson. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Professor Reams.
Okay, thank you for yielding the floor to Professor Reams, our professor on our show here. He's a real professor. Professor Reams, go right ahead. You're with James Hudson, Go right ahead, Professor.
Thank you, Pastor Jones, and also thank you, the regulator. James, once again, excellent job. My simple question is, what else do we need to do to support you? And how did the phones, because I know I was giving my phone calls to make sure to support and do whatever needs to be done. Is there anything else you need us to do?
Well, thank you so much, brother. What we're doing is now, as I said, we're looking at the end of this month. We know that we filed a civil suit, and it's going to go before the courts. We don't know how that's going to go. But right after we get a decision about what happened at the end of this month, we're going to be organizing for something else that we're getting ready to do, and at that time I'm going to let you know. So I'm really glad that you asked that question, because we're not going to stop regardless of what they say mm-hmm. in the court. We're going to keep moving forward. And so we do have a game plan. So about the end of this month, June the 30th is when that we go before the judge with this civil suit, and then we're going to see what they're saying. And as I said before, the congressman is working on something on behalf of the family, as well as the commissioner and some other people that I don't want to call their names, but they're mm-hmm. working on something, and then we're going to move forward with that. So, I want to thank you guys so much for the work that you've already done with making those phones ring. That really made a huge difference for us. That has been our way of protesting, just by getting hundreds of people calling those offices, and that really, really worked for us, because it gave me the opportunity to meet with different commissioners. I've had Republicans that have contacted me because of those phone calls and things like that, who I've had a chance to communicate with, and that was just outstanding. So I really think I want people to know that those phone calls really worked for us, and it's because of the people on Facebook and people like yourselves and the people like that on this show that took the time to pick up the phone. And because what I've told people was, you can go out there, we can go out there and chant with 150 people, but if we can get 500 people to pick up that phone, and because they have to answer those phones, and that's what worked for us. I'm telling you, the congressman has told me that those phone calls has really worked on your behalf, Mr. And they said, and even when I met with the some of the commissioners behind closed doors, they said, keep the pressure, man. You got the right idea. Just keep them calling, because the more you pressure us, the more we have to act. And so they want to do what's right. You see what I'm saying? But you have to understand, all right. This stuff is political. Every bit of it is political. But the more they see you got people that's willing to pick up a phone, because those people, like they told me, if they're willing to pick up the phone and make the phone call, they're willing to go vote. And that's what they look at. That's what they see. Yeah. They see voters. When they hear justice for Joshua, justice for Joshua, justice for Joshua, you do that 500 times on a phone, somebody's going to wake up. Somebody's going to say, somebody's going to wake up. You're going to make some people mad. Because why are these people? Because they have to, and my phone is just buzzing like crazy, so there's like three or four of these folks on the phone. But I don't care. We're doing what's legal. Everything we're doing is legal. They're public servants, so when we make those phone calls, they have to pick them up. That's just the bottom line. So, again, thank you guys so much, and God bless you for that.
You're welcome. And Brother James, thank you so much. But I want you to know, when the time is right, when you get the other event ready, I want to be your guest speaker, because I want to drop some real info on what we need to do. It's time to galvanize. Matter of fact, I've been talking about this. It's time for me to do a tour around the United States, speaking to our people, doing just what they're doing. They getting together, they Proud Boys, and this, that, and the other. It's time for the civil rights organizations, myself and you, Professor Reams, it's time to go around the United States and speak to our people. And I'm ready.
Amen.
Dr. King did it. Malcolm X did it. It's time for me to do it. And I'm ready to do
Amen.
It. And I'm not afraid, because, my eyes have seen the coming of the Lord. Amen?
Yep.
Like
Amen.
Dr. King said, I've been to the mountaintop, and I'm not afraid of any of it. I'm not of any of it. But we need to tell our people and wake them up to start growing their own food. They need to grow their own food. The recession is coming. And if you don't have no apples and oranges and carrots and cilantro and onions growing in your yard yet, you better get started. We need to tell our people about the recession, about the water. We need to tell the people how to eat, how to live, how to move, and how to galvanize. Because strength runs in numbers. And we need to have great numbers from every state in the United States. So when this thing goes down, and it will, we need to be ready. And I don't want to have to get ready. I want to be ready. And so when the time is right, Brother James, bring me on down I want to be your guest speaker, and I want to march with you guys. I want to walk with you guys, and I want to work with y'all, okay?
Amen. I appreciate you, brother.
Amen. Brother James, with that being said, don't go anywhere because I want you to give your closing remarks if you have time. Now, this thing about these phones, if you don't believe me now, you don't believe me ever. But I'm telling you, simple as this, your phone's a tap, your iPhone, your Android phone.
Yep.
It's an electronic leash. The government, every time they ask you a question, they ask you, is it okay for us to get into your pictures? Is it okay to get into your phone? They ask you. And nine times out of ten, to get to the next level, what you want to do, you got to hit yes. So the government's already on your phone. And before you can even text, you can do voice texting. Before you can even get the word out, it already did the rest of the sentence for you because it's using algorithms to get to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
These are smartphones for a reason. And a lot of these phones are smarter than you. You haven't even reached the full capacity of what they could do. The phone is smarter than you. If you knew what all it could do, the phone can start your car. It can turn your lights off. It can turn your stove on. The phone has
Amen.
A lot of power. So you better be careful with them phones because you better believe the FCC, the FAA, the CIA, the DEA, the ATF, and the FBI are all listening to your devices. And they listen to more people who do more things. The more things you do, the more they listen to you because they know that you ain't just sitting around talking and walking. You're moving and grooving. And when you're moving and grooving, they want to move and groove with you so they can mimic what you do and shut it down when they get ready. I'm sorry, no more shutting it down. I'm going to say that again. There is no more shutting it down. Because like Brother James Hudson said, this new generation is not having it. They're just not having it. As you can see, when they killed George Floyd, and I was there, I was in Minnesota right there with the Floyd family. I was there in Brunswick with the Ahmaud Arbery family, and I had a chance to march with the black militia, and they said, Pastor Jones, you stay behind this front row. And everybody on the front row had an AR-15 or M-16 or something. They were in uniforms. They were in military gear. And I will stand with them in solidarity on any day when I'm marching or giving a speech. Because they made sure that we were going to be okay. And it's time for us to do the same thing that they're doing. They got their Proud Boys and they protect each other. We got to have our protection, our black militias, to protect us too. And now I'm going to go to my daughter, Tamana Jones, who I haven't heard from, about the Emancipation Proclamation and how she feels about slavery. Tamana, please take the floor. Tell us how you feel. Go right ahead, Tamana.
Well, thanks, Daddy. I really have to disagree with the entire panel. It's, personally, for me, what it means is I am standing here because of all of the hard work that my ancestors did before me. And I am grateful to be able to say that as a youth of the millennia, that I still stand for God. I still understand what it means to carry my ancestors on my back, to understand that without them, I wouldn't be standing here. I also am grateful that we overcame, well, I won't say completely because we're still going through some things, but we are standing up for what we believe in, and slavery will be no more. The generational curses will come to an end. And I am grateful to say that we have a commemorative day to be able to celebrate, to learn and educate others on our history. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, look. You're welcome. Let's get Tawana a big hand. Let's get Tawana a big hand.
Amen.
And guess what? And guess what? Hey,
that's fun.
I'm going to say, like, from the mouths of babes, because our young generation is a lot more assertive and a lot more aggressive. But Cousin V, welcome to the show. Everybody say good morning, Cousin V. Good morning, Cousin V.
Morning.
Love you. Good morning,
Cousin V. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wow. Oh, hey, Talana, Jariah said hello. Adrian Wall said Jariah said hello. All right. Well, Cousin V, welcome to the
Hi,
show.
Jariah, love you. Love you, Adrian.
And Terry, wait. Minister Terry Herbert, welcome to the show. Thank you so much, Minister Terry Herbert, Evangelist of Virginia Valentine. Thank you so much, Brother Maurice Valentine. Thank you for your statements, bro. Oh, my gosh. We're really working today. And it's almost time for us to get into our regular segment of the show. That's where we go to regulate the manual, words of wisdom, health and wellness, and oh, the phone froze on you. The government did that. Somebody said their phone just froze on Facebook Live. The government controls these phones. Hallelujah, praise God. We own the phones, but we don't own the service. We own the phones, but we don't own the service. And the government controls, the FAA, and all them other governmental. But Cousin V, tell us how you feel about Emancipation Proclamation, Juneteenth, the slaves being free. And the question is, are we really free? Take the floor, Cousin V. Go right ahead.
My take on this, I'm so happy that the slaves were free, because when you look at back at all the movies and everything that everyone went through, thank God there is a God that he was able to give us freedom to a certain extent. But as we know, even on our jobs and things like that, we're not free. I mean, they have like a quota. So sometimes that's why you hide on the job, and that's why you're chosen. It's not because of your qualifications, just that they have to have people there. And then our government, I still just thank God for all the people that marched and done everything for us to vote, but yet we still don't get out and vote. And we always want to use the excuse that my vote doesn't count, but your vote counts, because that means you're silently voting for the other side. So I'm going to always speak on voting, because I continue to see the numbers, and I've been there before. And I just think that we should stop using that excuse. We want to get out and celebrate these holidays, but we should also back up the reason that we're celebrating those holidays.
Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's give Cousin V a big hand.
Cousin V,
I can't wait to hear the sports report, because I know who won the NBA championships, but we won't talk about that. Be good. Okay. Wait, hold on. Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Caller in the 323-646 area code, are you there? Did you want to say something? Okay, let's put them back on hold. Okay, caller in the 323-338 area code, are you there? Caller in the 323-338 area code, are you there? Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. Okay, good.
Hello?
So, was that – oh, wait, hold on. I thought they almost said something. Caller in the 323-338 area code, are you there?
Hello, Pastor Eddie Jones. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing
Pastor
great.
Can you hear me?
This is Dr. Terry Wilson.
Yes, sir.
The
how
one
are
and only.
You?
Man, I'm doing
how
great, Pastor
you?
Wilson.
Good morning.
Everybody say good morning to Pastor Wilson.
Good morning, Pastor Wilson.
Good morning. I just wanted to chime in for a moment just to listen. I'm getting ready to get on another conference call, so I just wanted to chime in to listen. God bless you. Excellent, wonderful show, Pastor Jones. You're doing a phenomenal job around the world. So I just thank God for you. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Wilson. God bless you, Pastor Wilson.
All right.
God bless.
Bless you, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was Pastor Dr. Terry Wilson. I just want to say this right now, God. Praise the Lord. We are getting ready to get into our regular segment, and we're going to start off with health and wellness, because we need our health and wellness, and then after that, wait. No, we're going to do poetry first. I apologize. Linda Goldie, take the floor. Give us poetry in motion. Poetry in motion. Linda, are you there? Linda Goldie, did we lose you? Okay. We'll go back to Linda Golding in just a minute. Let's go to Vera Jones with Health and Wellness. Vera, take the floor. Please give us Health and Wellness, and then we'll shoot into the sports report. Go right ahead.
Okay, Eddie, thank you. So today in Health and Wellness, I wanted to mention, are you equipped and are you prepared in the event of an emergency? And let's say a catastrophe like an earthquake, a mudslide, a hurricane, a flood, wildfires. Well, we have to do one thing that's really important. We have to make sure that we have emergency contacts written down on paper in a book, not just their cell phone. So in the event of an emergency, you can't charge your phone, can you? Well, if you are one that has a generator for a short period, yes, you can. So I wanted to give today the number for the Red Cross. That number is 800-733-2767. For the emergency Red Cross, 800-733-2767. And I wanted to ask, when is the last time you've updated your CPR card along with your first aid card in the event of emergency? And I must admit, I am so happy and thankful that I knew CPR many years ago when my mom had her first stroke, and she had several. But my mom is doing great, and she gave me the breath of life, and I was able to give it back to her because I knew CPR. So in the event that there is someone that has a stroke, heart attack, a bee sting, or broken bones or a snake bite, do you know what to do? Now, we want to save one another, so we want to be able to save family. So get your food supplies together, get your sundries, your first aid kit, and make it a priority as soon as possible to update your CPR and medical skills. Now, you can put some supplies away. Not only is it important to keep them at home, at work, whether you're on an excursion, or be aware of your environment because you should know where your emergency items are. And I will mention just a couple due to timing, but if you can, purchase a generator. Have some bungee cords. Have some regular tubes to shut off the gas or the water in the event of emergency. Keep some lighters, matches, medication, and hard candy for those that are diabetic. Make sure you have a box cutter, knife, clothes, shoes, baby supplies, a radio, AM, FM. And make sure you have some sterile tubes in the event that you may have to deliver a baby. Okay, keep our pet supplies, our plastic, footwear. If you can, put some towels to the side. Make sure you have some talcum powder, some vinegar, bleach, and a cooler. So a couple other sundries would be to have bar soap, masks, sterile wipes and gloves, your first aid kit, and a bucket for you to use in the event that's your portable porta potty. Just purchase some cat litter and throw it in there and with bags, and there you are. And last but not least, I already mentioned food supplies, so you can also include some supplements. And make sure you have enough water on hand, a couple of gallons per family member, and the smaller bottles if in the event you need to travel. And look up some natural herbs, like you can have a natural antibiotic, which is golden seal, and some hydrated foods and nuts. So that is my segment for today. And in the event of emergency, contact the Red Cross at 800-733-2767 and update your CPR card to save someone's life. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, Vera. Yes, thank you, Vera. Hallelujah. Well,
Dr. Granny Pete.
Thank you so much. Okay, everybody be mindful of the time. It is now 10:44 a.m. We're counting down on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And without further ado, everybody say hello to none other than Aretha Adams Jones, affectionately known as Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Welcome to the show, everybody. Say hello.
Hi, Aretha.
Hello, Dr. Aretha.
Hello, Dr. Aretha.
Hello,
Dr. Aretha. Woo-hoo. Yay.
Happy Monday.
Well, without further ado, it's time for Mental Health and You, and then we're going to our sports report, and we're going to go from there. All of a sudden, I hear Dr. Aretha Adams Jones. Take the floor. give us mental health and you.
Hey, Meg, happy Monday. Happy Juneteenth to all of you, to Pastor Eddie, to all of our guests. I praise God from whom all blessings flow. And today I just want to briefly talk about the 10 benefits of a hug and how a hug can really lift your mental health. So, one, it reduces stress and depression. Two, it increases bonding. Three, it cures loneliness. Four, it improves sleep quality. Five, it builds a sense of safety. Six, it boosts energy. Seven, it elevates mood. Eight, it promotes self-esteem. Nine, it alleviates fears. And 10, it reduces social anxiety. So go out and give someone a hug today. And remember, mental health matters, and it's time to remove the stigma. God bless you.
All right, Amen. Dr. Rita, come on now. All right. I'm giving everybody a spiritual hug. Everybody's getting a spiritual hug right now, wherever you are, whoever's listening to the show, I'm sending you a spiritual hug. I want to say hello to all of our people on Facebook Live, Britta Steinbrenner. Britta is on there. Hey, Britta, how are you? God bless you. Thank you for coming on, Evangelist Virginia, Sister Amina. I want to thank Robinson Timberlake. What's up, Sheila Timberlake? How are you? God bless you on Facebook Live. And everybody on Facebook Live, good morning to you. And so with that being said, it is Linda Goldie. Are you there? Linda Goldie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my gosh, Linda Goldie, it's time for some poetry in motion. Go ahead. Give us poetry in motion.
Okay, this is a short one. I don't laugh at old folks' jokes. I don't think they're funny. I don't laugh at hurricanes and say the day is sunny. I don't laugh at tragedy or ugliness in what I see or anything concerning me or you. If I did, I never would be through.
Wow, thank you very much. That's short and sweet and to the point. Short and sweet and to the point. I like that.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. Amen,
oh,
amen.
Man.
I'll remember
man.
That. Now,
yeah,
without further ado, hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, me too. It is time for the sports report. Cousin V, please take the floor. Give us the sports report about my NBA champions.
All right. First of all, I still want to say something about voting, since it is we celebrate Juneteenth and everybody's off for it today. We need to get out and vote this November so that we can get new Congress and get some of those old people out. The America Ooh. Is young now. It's not old. We need to get out those old ways, and we need to get out and vote. So I'm going to start the sports report off with tennis, and I'm just going to name some of the top black female tennis players, starting, of course, with Serena Williams. Then we have Althea Gibson, and Althea didn't only play tennis, but she also played professional golf. Then we have Venus
wow.
Williams, Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens, Taylor Townsend, Coco Gauff, who is the youngest of all. She's 18 years old. She's born in Delray, Florida, and she's the youngest player in the top 100. And she also plays second place this year in the French Open on June 4th, which just a few weeks ago of 2022. Then we also have Aura Washington, Naomi Osaki, and then we have Whitney, and I can't say her name, but it looked like Oswiggy, or something like that, but it's Osuigwe, and she's a 20-year-old, and she turned pro in 2017. So we want to just say hats off to our black female tennis players, because right now the tennis openings and the schedule is in progress. And then we have the PGA golf. They played the U.S. Open this past week, June 16th through the 19th at the Country Club. The purse was $17,500,000. And the leaders board, number one is Matt Fitzpatrick from England. He placed first place. Then we had two ties from America, and that was Will Zalatoris from San Francisco. And we have a lot to say about San Francisco today. And then we have Scottie Scheffler, who won the 2022 Masters. And then fourth place was Hideki Matsuyama from Japan, and then tied number five was Colin Morikawa, who is also from Europe. And as we are speaking right now, I'm watching the television station, and the Golden State Warriors, as we know, won the NBA championship 2022-42 over the Boston Celtics. And right now they're set up and they are doing their parade as I'm speaking, right? Even here in Texas, in San Francisco, California, which I said a lot is going on with San Francisco today. And I hope I also may get a travel contact to San Francisco. One popped up in just the past few days. The NBA draft will also be this week. It's June the 23rd, this Thursday. On ESPN at 8 p.m., and it was powered by State Farm Insurance. And then we have our NFL schedule. Our NFL schedule will start, the first game will be Thursday, September the 8th, and that'll be the first Thursday night football game. It will be Buffalo and look like the L.A. Chargers. And then that Sunday will be New Orleans, Atlanta, Cleveland, Carolina, San Francisco at Chicago, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, Indianapolis at Houston, New England at Miami, Baltimore at New York Jets, Jacksonville at Washington, New York Giants at Tennessee, Kansas City at Arizona, Las Vegas Raiders and the L.A. Chargers. You have two teams, the Chargers. Yes, the Chargers. It was the Rams that's going to start the Thursday night football. So this is the L.A. Chargers and Las Vegas Raiders. Then Green Bay at Minnesota. Tampa Bay will be at Dallas. And that will be our Monday night football game will also start Monday, September the 12th. This is my sports report. If y'all have a blessed week. Y'all continue to pray for our family because I am still missing my daughter, and we barely even had time because my sister also got her wings 7 months before my daughter. So just continue to pray for us for strength. Bless you.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Love you, Cousin B.
Amen.
Love you, Cousin B. Love you. Love you, and God is right there with you. God is right there with you.
You, Cousin B.
Well, in the essence of time, we love you, Cousin V, in the essence of time. We're going to pray before we get out of here, but it's 10:52, and it's time to regulate the manual. And last but not least, we will get the commentary. I want to shout out Paula Owens. Hey, Sister Paula Owens, God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. Thank you, Minister Terry Herbert. Minister Terry Herbert, send a prayer up right now on Facebook Live for Cousin V, if you can. Just send a prayer up on Facebook Live that we could all read together. For Cousin V. Thank you so much. Without further ado, Clarence and Malin, take the floor. Please regulate the manual. The time is 10:53 a.m. Go ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Eddie. We've been in the Book of the Gangsters. We did DVA last week, but we are in the Gangsters, and I believe that the realm of gangster and gangsterism has been around for a mighty long time. Man has been bribing, intimidating, extorting, swindling, killing, and murdering along with the controls of others by the use of force, and there's much more. Gangsters have been doing their thing before my time, and they will be doing their thing for a long time to come. Gangsters will be here in full effect for some time to come. The secret to the key is to modify and diverse. Gangsters here, gangsters there. Gangsters are everywhere. There are many gangsters who started in their youth by entering a gang of some kind. The average gangster usually started out as a gang member. The road to the life of becoming a gangster can start from early teenage and even in earlier ages. Many of these young gangsters' training will definitely come from the street. Belonging to a gang and becoming a gang member, there are some who have gone through the ranks as a gangbanger and went on up to the realms of being a gangster. These are just some of the roads you may have to travel during your journey going up into a G. Please, be careful and think about it. and do not go too far with your thinking. You might get lost in the woods, turned out by some character on some corner, or end up buried under a bridge. The road to this life do not get any trickier and dangerous than climbing the scales and the ladders of a G. Don't forget this. Every gangster is not necessarily a banger. Neither has every gangster served in a street gang. There are some gangsters who know how to handle people. There are some gangsters who know how to run the business of the businesses. You know what I mean? Do not be deceived. It will always be a gangster who has made off with the loot. Either a gangster must have some kind of business or a gangster must be part of some kind of business. And because of the pressing time, we're going to stop right there in the gangsters. Go in your book and regulate the manual. Go and get the gangsters out and know what it's all about. Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to the panelists. We love you. Have a wonderful week and have a wonderful Juneteenth holiday and a Father's Day. God bless you.
All right, let's give it up for
Brother
Clinton now.
All right.
Brother Clinton. Hallelujah. Praise God. Minister Terry Herbert, you sent a prayer up. Is on Facebook. I'm sorry. Somebody say something? Go right ahead.
I said there just might be a gangster standing under the street light at night watching the flow of the dollar.
Oh, my God. Without Minister Terry Herbert, thank you for the prayer that you sent up on Facebook for Cousin V. It said, Eddie Justice Jones Jr. on Facebook Live. You want to see it? And somebody, I want to hit like, but in the essence of the time, it's 10:56. I want to get a closing remark from Mr. James Hudson, maybe a soundbite, 30-second soundbite, and then we're going to go right into the commentary. James Hudson, please take the floor. Give us your closing remarks, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, great, man. Thank you guys for having me. I really have learned a lot today from all this mental health and preparing myself for a disaster. And everybody's just been, like, right on point. They didn't take a lot of time. I feel like I've been in school today. So I'm really thankful that I was able to get on here today. I just wanted to say something real quick about Brother Clarence was talking earlier about the educating our people about slavery and where we come from. I just did a skit 2 days ago dealing with Juneteenth. Usually every Juneteenth I open up the Black History, for the Juneteenth parade here in Missouri City, Texas, or I'm performing all over the city doing Juneteenth. And that's one particular skit that I do called The Dreamer, about a young slave boy that dreams that he sees Barack Obama as the first Black president of the United States. But I do that, and every time I do that skit, particularly, people will come up to me and say, man, I'm so glad I was able to see you act that out, and I wish our children that I was – I had so many people, pastors that came up to me the other day and just said, you need to come to my church and do that. It was just unbelievable. He said, I'm just so happy that somebody has not forgotten where we come from and not ashamed to get out here and portray our people out here in these slave fields and to show us really how far we really have come. So there are a lot of people that are out there doing that. I don't think we should just be doing this during Juneteenth or Black History Month. We should be doing this every month, educating our people on where we come from. And so that we can show that we are a proud people. You know, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We were forced into slavery, but we came. God brought us out of it, and we've been able to make some great strides. So that's my take on that. Again, about the Joshua Johnson thing, like I said, I will be getting back with you guys to keep you updated on what's happening with that. Be praying for his family as well as myself, my safety, their safety. This is serious stuff. This is not no joke. As I said, I know that these people monitor everything that we're doing. Actually, the DA's office actually told me that they monitor all of my social media and stuff like that. I mean, they told me that to my face, and I'm like, why are y'all monitoring me? I haven't killed anybody. Why don't you monitor the man that did the crime? But that just goes to show you how backwards everything is. They rather make the good people, somebody like myself trying to stand up for a family, make you look like you're the bad guy and let the bad guy go free. That's just how backwards this system is. But I'm going to stand for what's right, and I'm going to stand for what I know is true, and I'm going to continue. As long as God says I am with you, then I will go, and people can say whatever they want to say, but I'm going to continue to fight for what I know is right. So you guys continue to pray for myself, my safety, for the Joshua Johnson's family.
in this safe end, just know that if you are going to get involved in this plight for justice, that you are going to be monitored. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. So thank you guys again. God bless each and every one of you.
Let's give a big hand. Our guest today. Yeah. Now we're going over on the show today a few minutes because we got to do the commentary. But before we do the commentary, I want to give you the word of the week. Get your pencil and your paper out. I'm going to give you the scripture of the week and the word of the week. And I'm going to start off with the word of the week. The word of the week is freedom. The word of the week is freedom. Make that applicable to your life. Are you really free? And if you are free, exercise your freedom. Our scripture of the week is Psalms 120, verse 1. Psalms 120, verse 1. And it reads, "In my distress, I cried out unto the Lord, and he heard me." Hallelujah. Praise God. Let it sink into the resonance of your heart and mind. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Psalms 120, verse 1. And it reads, "In my distress, I cried out unto the Lord, and he heard me." And that should say it all right there. He heard you. Cry out to the Lord. Cry out to God. He will hear you. But you have to have faith and trust and know that God can hear you. Without further ado, it is time for the commentary. Professor Reeves, please take the floor. Give us the commentary, and take your time.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And once again, an excellent, excellent forum, the Real Deal Holyfield. And, of course, it's been knocked right out of the ballpark. And so, once again, excellent job. So, Pastor Jones, thank you, too. And I usually go around and thank all the co-producers and the co-hosts. To Cousin V, thank you so much. We love you, and we support you. And always good to have you doing the sports. To our prophet, Clarence Allen, the regulator, thank you again for reminding us about the gangsters. To Dr. Granny V, it's always an honor. And once again, I'm going to have my checklist down for the equipment, emergency equipment, and the Red Cross. So thank you for that reminder. To Talana Jones, words of wisdom, thank you so much for everything and also your thoughts as well. To Melanie Aubrey, a wonderful shout out. To Dr. Aretha Jones Adams, once again, the benefits of a hug, of reducing stress, bonding, loneliness, safety, energy, mood, self-esteem, fear, and social anxiety. That's why we need that. I'm giving my hug to my radio family right now. And to Linda Goldie, that's right. When we laugh, yes, everything is laughable because I wouldn't stop thinking of all the things that we're having to deal with. And I know that some of the things that we go with, the good Lord may have a good laugh from time to time at some of the things that we do. Not all, but some. And to our wonderful, wonderful guest, James Hudson, excellent job. Always an honor to have you on the show and all the great work that you're doing. And then a shout out to Dr. Terry Wilson. So here we are, folks. And let's go back to what the scripture has just definitely said. My distress, I cried out unto the Lord, and he heard me. So how did the good Lord hear us when we cried out? Well, the first, he provided us with a wonderful foundation of knowing him, because during the times of slavery, at least we had the chance and opportunities to have the Bible. And also, by reviewing the Bible, it also encouraged us that reading was a key. Now, what we're looking at is what we've talked about of WIP, a work in progress, because once we had given our lives to him, then it wasn't going to be an easy road, but it was going to start somewhere. So that's why with Juneteenth being our Independence Day for that day, it begins with the foundation. And as Talana reminded us, we are standing on the shoulders of our ancestors. And if you want to state when that happened, it would have been June 19th, 1865. Moving forward. So what did these cries result in? Prior to this time, of course, we had the Civil War, and of course, good Lord would not have wanted us to have it, but it was an answer to resolving the cries that were going on. Now, moving forward, we're free. But then there was the issue of what to do next. And one thing that is missed out, and I know Clarence Allen did hit on everything, was we asked, well, what do they do? But when I did the mathematics, dealing with what when we were freed and when a Tulsa, Oklahoma was created, it only took 36 years for that to happen, and then for it to gain full prominence, 56 years for it to be the Black Wall Street. So the biggest fear that was echoed was that here the folks that we've taken that we originally thought were slaves, who would continue to be slaves, actually were prosperous, were brilliant, were smart enough to learn the system in only 20 to 30 years, and they were now owning their own homes, having their own banks, and being prosperous in not only one location but 8 locations, and during the time of Reconstruction were elected to Congress, and that's where you have your W.E. Du Boises and some of the other folks who went to Harvard, Yale, and some of the top institutions. That is amazing, and that feared the structure, because if these folks could do that, they'll be running the country very, very soon. So comes the backlash. You have the divide and conquer, as Brother James has mentioned. You know, you have the hate. You now have today authoritarianism. You have the issue of critical race theory, replacement theory. There's also, sometimes we even talk about that we've been in a cold civil war for many years and now it's heating up. And these are the evils that have been occurring and continue to occur. But as you look to the youth, they're not going to sit down and lie down and let this happen. They are going to actually focus on what the good Lord said, because we are all works in progress, His progress, not man's progress. And in doing so, we're going to persevere, but we're going to do it with patience, because it took so long, 150 years, 7 years. But think of all the progress. Barack Obama, from meager beginnings, we've had black president. Then we have Juneteenth. Then we have all the civil Supreme Court, along with billionaires, millionaires, and entrepreneurs. And so the focus has moved from having it concentrated, like a Tulsa, Oklahoma, in one location, to being fully integrated, to where if there's going to be attack, as both James, Pastor Jones, and Clarence Allen mentioned, we're going to do it to ourselves, because the African Americans are now fully integrated into the society. It will be hurting oneself, because we're in every field of human endeavor, making money and people making money from us. Who will benefit from the point of our view by saying, look, we come together? When you saw the George Floyd aspect of it, it was because we're now so integrated into it, it wasn't our fight anymore. It was everybody's fight. So when the good Lord is involved in this process, we, as the canary in the coal mine, exhibit exactly what the Father was meaning to do, that we don't do it alone. We don't do it in a pact. We don't do it as a tribe, but we do it with everyone who's part of our village, per the African proverb of it takes a village to raise, but it also takes a village to praise and to move and to build and to forge and to be successful together. So in this year of 2022, it shows that the successes that we've had have been part of that work in progress, that journey, and that love that the good Lord has placed us in. But there's still work to do. And Juneteenth reminds us, while we're standing on the shoulders of our foundation, of our founders and our ancestors, we need to continue their fight on the front ground by not only voting, but staying in front, and by learning and using the tactics that we've done so well, per the Black Panthers, per what we did with James Hudson, by making phone calls, by getting into what John Lewis said is good trouble, by employing both prayer and practice, meeting him 50-50, we can continue this legacy into the future to reach that goal. But remember, folks, we're here at a point in time where he's placed us. So we've done, and we're going to continue to do our part. The next generation will be given another task that the good Lord has identified. And all we can do is hope that they stand on our shoulders as we've stood on the shoulders of our ancestors. In God's name, we do that. In his Lord's name, in praise, he will never leave us and never forsake us when we walk with him. Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
What a commentary.
Take a chunk of that limo.
You knocked it out the park.
Yep.
You knocked that out the park.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, please.
Professor Reed.
Hello.
Professor Reed, that was amazing. And I just want to say this. Yesterday, and my daughter doesn't even know that I saved her for last. She probably thought I wasn't going to say it. But yesterday, she made me the best Father's Day dinner ever, Talana did. And all the kids called me, and they talked to me, and they set up appointments with me to go to movies and do dinner and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just grateful as a father. And to all the fathers, I shout you out, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. But now I save the words of wisdom for last because I wanted my daughter to do the words, close out with the words of wisdom in memory of Father's Day and what Father's Day represents. And I'm thankful for all my kids. I want to thank you, all my grandkids. I'm just glad to be alive, to be in your life. And that's my right. So I'm just so thankful. And I love you. Talana, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom. Thank you, Terry Herbert, Minister Terry Herbert, for putting freedom, the word there, the definition of freedom, and the scripture of the week. Thank you, Minister Terry Herbert. Talana Jones, please take the floor. Give us words of wisdom. And Dad loves you so much. I'm proud of you. And all my kids.
Wow. What an honor. So, yes, I had the privilege yesterday of making Dad for the first time in my life, because I know Dad loves chili, some chicken chili. And it was really nice, very homemade, fresh, zesty. I would call it very hearty. And we served it up with some jasmine rice and some dinner rolls with a salad on the side. And just loved on Dad and enjoyed him. And I'm so grateful that we did have a chance to sit back and enjoy each other. So, Dad, thank you for being there. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers, including you, Daddy, especially.
Thank you, Kalani. So, I love you and all the kids. Go right ahead.
I'm going to read a short poem and keep it as quick as I can. Juneteenth.
Take your time.
Means we carry liberation in our cheekbones. We fold the stories of our ancestors into song, into science, into fashion, into food, and innovation. We follow the recipe of the legacy of our people. And it is there we nourish ourselves. We gather here together, bring ourselves to a table where we love as always and we serve. Let's come home to each other. We are our best harvest. Wow. I have to read that again. We are our best harvest. We are our own healing place. We gather here together to heal, to remind ourselves of a freedom song, to sing for those who may not feel like singing, to sing for those who are no longer here to sing, to honor the freedom we have, and to fight for the freedom we have yet to see. We must rest and protest. We must kick our beans and pop our gum, and we must pontificate. I want to say this right, pontificate. We fix grandma's plate. Our joy is our resilience. Our beauty is our glory. Our courage is our resilience. Our freedom is written in the follicles of our hair and in each other. We have strength for the journey. Thank you, guys, and God bless you. And thank you, Dad.
Thank
the
life of the
words
of wisdom.
Oh, wow. The ballpark. Ooh.
Yes. The ballpark. Yes.
I got to tell you guys, every segment of the show is amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, and I just can't thank our special guest, James Hudson, enough. I cannot thank every co-producer of the show. We love you, Cousin V. Minister Terry, you know you're a part of our show always, and we love you, Minister Terry and Evangelist Valentine and everybody on Facebook Live. We all love you. We love everybody. We're all connected some kind of way. remember who fought for you to have the right to even say the word Emancipation Proclamation. Remember to read up on the word freedom and get the definition. It's right there on Facebook Live. And remember our scripture, Psalms 120. You know, you could cry out to God and he will hear you. Hallelujah. That is some powerful stuff. And remember, what they did, the reason why they didn't want you to read is because they didn't want you to get intelligence, wisdom, and knowledge, which equals power. And power takes you to the next level. Keep getting your power. Keep getting your intelligence. Keep getting your wisdom. Keep getting your knowledge. And remember, put God first in everything you do. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limits. Remember that the best is yet to come. And whatever you do, don't you let nothing and nobody steal your joy. You're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. We'll be here next week. I have enjoyed this immensely, every segment, every discussion, every topic, and every matter. And remember to vote. Your vote counts. Remember to vote. God bless you guys. I love you on Facebook Live. I got to go on Facebook Live. God bless y'all. Love y'all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now on blogtalkradio.com. Let's see. Wait a minute. Let me hit this. Let's see. Now on blogtalkradio.com. I love you guys. And y'all know what time it is. And every time at the end of the show, I always ask you a question. And the question is,
what's going on?
What's going on? Peace. Everybody, I love you. Take care.
Hey, what's up, man?
What a show.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we are to bring some loving here today. And pick it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.